Hey, this is Hell Dantes, and you're listening to, Guildcast. You're listening to Guildcast, I think.
We think our music is super, you think our music sucks, so we've got something to rescue. Guys have got you think we suck on our instruments. It's true, we suck on our instruments. So we've got something the rest of you guys have got.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the 63rd episode of Guildcast for February 2nd, 2007. I'm your host, Sean. In this episode, I'm going to do a few things that we've never done before in the show, so let me just give a brief disclaimer first. This show will contain cursing, cussing, foul language, or whatever it is that you want to call it. For this reason, I've attached the explicit tag to this episode. So if you're easily offended by bad language, don't listen to any more of this episode. It's really quite simple. If you're also offended by me telling you how it is and being very straightforward with you, then don't listen to any more of this episode. And finally, if you don't want to know that I have a sarcastic, angry, cranky side, and you'd prefer to think of me as kind, gentle, caring, and helpful, then seriously, press stop now. So are you ready? Are you sure? Okay then. I decided to do it this way not only as a change of pace for the show, but also because I think it helps the whole pedantic, satirical theme of this episode, which is how not to suck so bad at Guild Wars. You just can't tell people how not to suck without at least cursing at them a little bit, you know? You gotta get the point across. Plus, you know, a few F-bombs here and there won't be the end of the world for you. After all, it's my fucking podcast. So I wanted to say that this episode is inspired by Brendan from FalconTwin.com and the Virgin Worlds podcast. I was originally going to say that it's dedicated to him, but instead I figured I'd dedicate it to the dumbass pugs that I find myself in every once in a while. So inspired would be a better term for Brendan. This show is inspired by Brendan. I really love his rants, and none of you have heard the Virgin Worlds podcast when he's on there, you got to listen to it. Because just the way he says exactly what he wants to say is something that I wish I could do a lot of times on the show, but I've chosen to take the clean approach to podcasting. But that's the main reason I'm doing this show here, because it'll be kind of a break away from all that, just for this particular episode. Anyway, now that that's all out of the way, here's the people who asked to be mentioned this week. There's Madar King, who is the guy I forgot his name last time. There's Blue Liger Strife, who helped me in Factions mission this week, Prophet Maker, Enchanted Scythe, and Farron Durzak. As for game news, this weekend will be the second test weekend for the new skill balance and the changes to Heroes Ascent. This time, though, the changes will stay, yet they'll still monitor player feedback to determine if further changes need to be made. I will put a link in today's show notes showing a very detailed explanation of the changes from last test weekend and this one. The list is fairly large, and the changes to Heroes Ascent are also pretty significant. Also, if you're not aware, last week the Nightfall treasure chests were reset for all players, so if you went around and opened all of them for your characters before, you can actually do it again for those same characters, and all your characters. And finally, I'd like to introduce a short segment from a listener who I've been corresponding with for a little while now. She originally asked to help with the show, doing whatever grunt work she could, with the possibility of maybe doing a segment someday. Well, we talked about it a little bit some more, and she was really persistent, and she eventually sent in a recorded example of what she'd like to do. I was seriously blown away when I heard it, as you will be in a minute here. So I agreed to let her do a segment for the show, without any real promises of being a regular contributor to the show, because I'm not really looking for that. You know, we tried that a few times, and then I got away from that. So I'm not really looking for that right now, but she might just change my mind. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see what the listeners think So here's a little background on her. She belongs to a small but loyal guild of friends called Sigil of Nightfall. She's an old-school role-player of D&D and has played all three chapters of Guild Wars. She has 8 20th-level characters, so she says she may sound like she doesn't know how to play, but she really does. So, like I said, I'll let you guys judge for yourselves. Let me know on the forums or an email if you like her and you like this segment, and maybe we can get it semi-regularly at least.
This is Jenna, and I'm coming to you less than live from Guildcast. Despite the theme of the show, how not to be bad at Guild Wars, I have monks on my mind. Specifically, the NPC monks. And I thought we'd take the time to talk about our helpful healing henchies. If you're anything like me, you started in Prophecies, and Alicia is the first monk you ever met. Unfortunately, she's not a good example of a monk. This has nothing to do with the bald head thing. I likes me some Captain Picard, and I'll give a shout out to all my bald brothers and sisters. The problem with Alicia is, and this has been mentioned before on Guildcast, she thinks she's a tank. And she likes to go in there swinging that staff, which is not what you want in a healer. Even though they've said they've improved her AI, I don't think you can take the tank out of Tank Girl. So next, you get Lena. She's more of a protection monk, and she's got a lovely head of hair, not that it matters. However, if you take the time to talk to her, and I do, because I like to know what the henchies are thinking and feeling, because, you know, you spend a lot of time in the field with them, you'll find out she doesn't like you, she doesn't like following you around, and you know what? Who needs her? Because next, you get Menlo. Now, this is exciting, because the guy appears on the box, looking holy, or dead, and he's one of the main characters. But I personally call Menlo the chunky monk, and that's because, to me, he looks like he's a warrior who hasn't been exercising. I used to worry about him until I found out why, and this is my theory. When you get to factions, you get to see how he and Sin interact, and specifically how he handles Sin's boisterous attitude toward other women that actually talk to Menlo, and I think it's pretty obvious that Menlo is a compulsive eater because of the stress of his relationship with Sin, and that's really sad. But anyway, moving on to factions, and, you know, Menlo goes with you, so that's nice. In factions, we come across Sister Ty. And when I was thinking about all these monks, I realized I know nothing about her. She's such a nobody. I know as much about Sister Ty as the healer henchy in Nightfall, who I think her name is Kim. And, you know, she was made superfluous by the introduction of heroes. So, again, I mean, at least Redemptor Carl of the Kurziks has a funny hat. I know that. And Seaguard Gita for the Luxans, I know that he or she, actually, I don't even know if it's he or she, would prefer to be beating people up, because that's what Luxans do. Every year they have a big party and they beat each other up. He'd rather do that but healing than healing. But Sister Ty is such a non-entity. But perhaps this is my feeling. Maybe I haven't taken the time to get to know her. And you know why, though? Because all you ever need in healing from factions is Danica. Who doesn't love them some Danica? I am here today to nominate her for the title Best Character Ever in all three games. Think about it. When you first meet Danica, she's saving some kids from being eaten by those sick people. You know, the ones that look like the rejects from the Jabba the Hutt auditions? Beautiful woman, strikingly pale skin, beautifully painted eyes, gorgeous hairstyle, large black ball gown that doesn't stop her from getting into the fight and healing her little heart out. There you are in Arborstone, fighting for your lives. She saves you and your party by slamming the door shut. And you are thankful despite the 437 times she told you not to leave her family heirloom behind. She turns to you, opens her mouth, and says something to the effect of, "I didn't think it was going to work. I had the spell ready, but I wasn't sure it would hold. What the heck was that?" Couldn't Daddy Zuhelzer get her voice lessons? Well, I say, don't let it get you down, Danica. Your voice is fabulous, and I personally hope you come back in a future chapter because, you know, you're the funniest one they have, and maybe you could sing next time. We'll do a little Guild Wars Idol. So on to Nightfall. And as mentioned before, healer henchies, are pretty much replaced by healer heroes. It's a lot of H's. Dunkoro, I just plain don't like to look at. I got him the superhero armor in the first challenge mission, and that helped a little. But he really needs to get a haircut. He should take some tips from Alicia on hair. If you're going to go bald, suck it up. Don't grow it long in the back because you're not fooling anybody, Dunkoro. However, my biggest problem with the Dunk Man, and if you haven't gotten far in the game, you may not want to listen to this part. My biggest problem is that he didn't name his son. The poor kid is dead now, and he doesn't have a name. He's just Dunkoro's son. What? Is Dunkoro such a Casanova that he's got kids all over the place and doesn't even know their names? What, he can't keep track? Look, Dunkoro, name your kids, spend some time with them, get to know them before they die. As for Talcora, not really much to say about the spoiled rich girl. Ooh, I'm muddy and it itches. Yeah, whatever. Try wading through raw sewage in Kantha. I did find it interesting when Koss took the time to tell her he was more interested in Melanie, whatever her name is, after the Bone Palace mission. I didn't even know that Talcora was interested in Koss. I didn't know that this subplot was going on. Did you? It would have been cool if she had told him that not all women think he's hot, that actually few do. But maybe that's for another segment. That's all I got. This has been Jenna with Monks on My Mind.
So, you want to be a better Guild Wars player. You've listened to every Guildcast episode, but you still find yourself doing 20 damage and dying within 2 minutes of the mission's start. Maybe you don't have any friends to group with, and you wonder why. Or perhaps you've beaten every chapter, you have 5 level 20 characters and obsidian armor for every character, yet you don't know who Prince Rurik or Master Togo are. Well, I'm here to help. This is my personal top 10 ways not to suck so bad at Guild Wars, many of which may be different from your own personal top 10, so if you disagree with any of it, of course you can always take it to the forum. So let's start with number 10. Read the dialogue. Guild Wars has some of the most talented writers in the industry right now, like Jeff Grubb for one, and they're not afraid to flaunt it. When you talk to a quest giver and they present you with a 4-paragraph story about their quest, read it. There's a reason these stories are written. Now this, of course, doesn't apply to factions because it's a bunch of crap and the pop-up dialogue windows make me fucking crazy. Okay, number 9. Go outside occasionally. No, I don't mean the Marga Coast or North Krita Province. I mean go outside of your house or apartment. Get some fresh air. Get a hobby. Find something else to be interested in. Get a freaking girlfriend or a boyfriend. No, wait, scratch that last part. They're totally not worth it. But when you expand your horizons a bit, it makes you appreciate Guild Wars more, and it helps you become a more well-rounded player in general. The best players I know are people who have families and successful careers and other hobbies. Life experience aids game experience. Hey, I should copyright that. Now, you may be thinking, how in the hell can I get better at the game when I spend more time away from it doing other things? That doesn't make sense. Well, I'm approaching this more from a burnt-out perspective. Every time I've been feeling like I didn't want to play Guild Wars anymore, it was usually after I'd been playing for 8 or 9 hours straight. Since that doesn't really happen with me anymore, I can now appreciate the goals that I want to achieve in the game, and use my playing time more efficiently to achieve these goals. That, I think, makes me a better player. Now, number 8. Realize that level 20 means nothing. This game is not level-based, it's skill-based. I realize that this is a common misconception since most role-playing games out there are level-based. And especially at first, you're going to be excited when your first character reaches level 20, but you'll soon see that the level 20 tag means jack squat. It's like on World of Warcraft. They say life starts at level 60, which now I guess would be level 70. And it's like that here, too. It's just that the top level in Guild Wars comes a lot sooner and a lot easier, making it mean much less. This is also a funny thing with people who play other MMOs, and they've maybe only played Guild Wars for a short time, or they've dabbled in it for, you know, a couple of weeks. They think, oh my god, Guild Wars is so easy because you can get to level 20 in 2 days. Yeah, great. Keep thinking that, because we don't want you in our game anyway. Number 7. Learn how to build a skill bar. The skills and attributes work hand in hand. When you press K, you'll see your list of skills which can be arranged by attribute. These attributes are where you put your attribute points. The higher the attribute points, the more effective your skills will be under that certain attribute. In other words, 1 plus 2 equals 3. Get it? It's a very easy system to learn and even easier to use. Now, a build is simply your skill bar of skills set up to be as effective as you see fit. This is done by not spreading yourself too thinly with attributes. One or two specialized attributes is best, like if you're a monk, you use healing prayers and divine favor, for example. Three attributes is still okay, four is a bit much, and five is just plain stupid. In relation to attribute usage, this actually reminds me of a story. No, it's a good story, shut up. Okay, so I was once in one of the Nightfall Desolation missions with my Ellie, and I joined a pug. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking either, but anyway, it turns out to be one of those hurry, hurry, go, 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 get a monk and then we leave groups, you know. And so we finally get a monk and they say that they're ready, so we go. You know, pretty standard so far. A little while into the fight, I noticed that no one's really getting healed. I was staying alive merely through Aura of Restoration. So then I noticed that the monk is wielding a chaos axe and some kind of fancy shield of some sort. Well, I thought that's kind of odd. And then I noticed that they're also a monk necro. Even more odd, considering their weapon choice. So after I die from lack of healing, I click on the monk to watch their skill usage. It consisted of a whole lot of spells like Vampiric Gaze, Deathly Swarm, and Bane Signet. Now, class, can anyone tell me what little Jimmy the Monk is doing wrong here? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Yeah, he's using skills from three different attributes and wielding weapons from the warrior class, which he's not even a member of. Okay, to be fair, I should point out some possibilities. First off, maybe the Chaos Axe had an energy mod on it that he was using. Or maybe it had a health mod, or whatever. Maybe the shield also had a health mod, I don't know. But judging by the skills he was using and the way he was using them, I would say no. He probably just thought they looked cool and that's it. And he was also a dumbass. Don't be a dumbass. Number 6. Don't brag. I don't care what you're wielding. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care how many level 20 characters you have. I don't care what kind of car your daddy drives. No one else does either. If you help me get masters or mission and bonus, I'll be happy. If we lose because you're too busy making up for your insecurities by telling everyone else how many times you've cleared FOW today, I'll fucking hate you. Got it? Good. Number 5. Find a good guild. I know of many high-level players who don't have a guild at all, and they're perfectly fine with it. But to me, having a good guild makes the game. You won't need to rely on pugs or henchies and heroes for all of your quests and missions, which is all right, but sometimes it can get a bit, I don't know, lonely. With a good guild, you'll have other people around to share your experiences and builds with. You can learn from their mistakes and laugh at them about it. I mean, laugh with them about it, yeah. But the definition of a good guild is different for everyone. I know I've said this before, but I can't say it enough. Whether you want to faction farm with a guild to hold towns in Chapter 2, or you want a GVG guild, or a PvE role-playing guild, or one with people over 30, or all female, or people who like to dress up in rabbit costumes when they play, whatever. There's a guild out there for everyone. These are the people you can call upon to answer questions you may have, or more importantly, group with you on the harder missions to help you through the game. Not only that, you might actually make some friends. And number 4, know your role. If you're a healing monk, heal. If you're a tank, then don't run up to gain aggro, then run back behind everyone else. Sure, it's fine to experiment and play with different builds. I'm not saying to copy the most popular builds and stick by them all the time, but know what the advantages of your primary are over other primaries. Know why certain combinations work and others don't. For example, many people believe that being an elementalist monk would be some secret to greatness because of the Ellie's primary attribute, energy storage. Nope. Because then you're missing out on the extra healing of divine favor. This also doesn't mean that if you're a monk, you only heal, or if you're a warrior, you only tank. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, whatever it is you do, do it well. Learn your skills and your build for that particular character. Don't go into a group as a monk and say, hey guys, I'm half healing and half prod, but my skill bar is mostly smiting, so I'm ready, let's go. Expect to see yourself partyless within mere seconds. It's not a matter of conforming or whatever, you know. It's a matter of playing the class as it was intended to be played, while using your secondary to supplement that primary class. And number three, bookmark GuildWiki. www.guildwiki.org. Learn it, use it, live it, breathe it. The site is made to be an encyclopedia of knowledge on Guild Wars, compiled by the players themselves. This is both good and bad, though. Now, it's good because it's updated several times a day, with access to the comparisons between revisions. So you can see, you know, when somebody made a revision, you can see the difference between the two. It usually has the very latest news on the game also, with photos, maps, guides, and everything else you'll need to complete a mission or quest. When there's a new chapter of Guild Wars, I usually refer to GuildWiki to see the newest armor picks or weapons or whatever. I rarely refer to it, though, for quests or missions, but I do use it exclusively for their guides on where to find bosses to cap elite skills. Now for the bad part of GuildWiki. Any stupid ass can contribute. Someone could post on there that a boss is located in just a completely different area than they actually are, and they'd get away with it. For a while, anyway. Since the wiki is so active with users and even GuildWiki's own administration, most of the site's newest contributions and changes are checked within minutes of it being submitted. So even the bad isn't really that bad. But this said, I don't want you to think that you have to rely on GuildWiki all the time for everything. Because it's a good tool, it's a good accessory to playing the game, to find places maybe when you're stuck, or when you want to find a map, or you need a good visual on something, but don't rely on it for everything. Don't open it for every quest and every mission, and just run through it step by step exactly the way they say it there, because that takes away from the fun of the game. I'm saying to use it simply as a tool, and that's it. So, on to number two. Don't rush through the game. Let's say you just got Guild Wars Nightfall for Christmas. You're so excited, but you're a few months behind all your friends who got it on launch day. So you fly through the Istani Island, you get a run to the docks for max armor. You then do just enough quests to enter the docks mission at level 6. Your friends beat the mission for you. You get to the mainland, and your friends run you through the rest of the missions to Vabi. You're now level 11 or 12, sitting in Tyhark Orchard, typing LFG Masters in all chat. Let me just give you a second for that to sink in. If you have Nightfall, and I even have to explain to you how funny that last sentence is, stop this podcast right now, start it from the beginning, and listen again. If at the end of the day you find you can't seem to get past this part because you keep restarting the show, uninstall Guild Wars from your computer and get a Nintendo Wii. And the number one way not to suck so bad at Guild Wars is have fun. This is a game. If you die in-game, you won't die in real life. The end of the world is not dictated by if you finish this mission today or not. That said, though, I need to remind myself of this many times. Most of this list is me complaining about things that, if I just remind myself, it's just a game, then they wouldn't bother me so much. But then if things didn't bother me, I wouldn't have anything to complain about, and that's no fun. Okay. You may be saying, that was all fine and dandy, Sean, but what about PvP? I can't stand those losers in PvE. I'm a PvPer to the bone, and I eat raw meat, and I piss vinegar, and I knock little old ladies down in the middle of the street because that's just how competitive I am. Grrr! Well, if this is you, I've also compiled a short list of the top 5 ways not to suck at PvP so badly. Number 5. Learn all classes. Not just your favorite. This will help you learn how useful a mesmer can be if you prefer to play a warrior, and why you need to stay away from the anti-melee builds, and, you know, things like that. The more you know about every class, the better you'll be at counteracting those builds or learning to work around them. This can also be especially useful for building skill combinations with your secondary class. The very best PvP builds incorporate skills from both your primary and secondary class. Some good examples of this are Shock Warrior, Touch Ranger, the early Ai Wei Warrior builds. The list really just goes on and on. Number 4. use observer mode. Observer mode is a very effective tool for learning firsthand how other players use their builds. It can help you learn timing, cast order, map layouts, and just so many other things. Number 3. Learn a tried and true build. This goes for both character build and team builds. I don't care if you think you may be able to think of something better than the builds on GuildWiki or Guru or whatever, just try them out first. They'll teach you more important things like how to work with a coordinated team and how to play your role in the team better. This is very, very, very important. That is, unless you want to go play random arenas all day, but personally I think that the random arenas are pretty much the Battle Isles asshole. There are two things you can be sure of in random arenas: noobs and rage quitters. And they both really piss me off. Number 2. Join a PvP guild. This is the same principle as number 5 on the top 10 list I just mentioned. These guys can help you, work with you, and train you to be better than you ever could by yourself. This is especially helpful, of course, if you want to do guild versus guild battles. Durr. And the number 1 way not to suck so bad at PvP is don't be such a fucking baby. Seriously. If you want to learn anything at all about PvP, you get up, dust your fat ass off, and try again. Rinse, repeat. Don't complain. Don't tell me about the impossible warrior who wouldn't die and how it wasn't fair that the mesmer kept interrupting your spells or whatever. You learn why this happened and how to counteract that build. I would guarantee that if you were to ask any member of the top-ranked PvP guilds how they got to where they are today, not one of them would say something like, "Yeah, dude, I just bought Guild Wars last week and found out I'm just a natural at this. It's like encoded in my DNA or something. I didn't have to practice or anything." And if they do tell you that, they're completely full of shit. The fact is, they practiced, they memorized, researched, communicated, and then practiced some more. It's like that with anything competitive. Your gym teacher isn't lying to you. Practice makes perfect. No pain, no gain, and all that other crap. So that'll do it for this episode of Guildcast. Please send all angry hate mail to sean@guildcast.com, where I will promptly delete it. Just kidding. I'll read it, and then I'll delete it. Our next episode will be quite a treat that's been in the planning stages for quite a while now. It'll be that roundtable episode that I've mentioned in the past, where 7 of the leadest of the elite, along with Loudon Swain, will do a mission together, and the whole thing will be recorded as it happens. Possibly with a video as well, depending on if I can pull that off or not with my computer before it explodes. So look for that within the next 2 weeks or so. And until that time, be sure to tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.
Hey, Sean. Big fan of the show. This is Isaac Hall from Ohio, and I know that you have all these complaints about the assassin, and most of them are true. But I got something that would probably make you cry, because there is a Tombs solo build for this assassin, and it's very effective. And you should try it out, and look me up in game. We'll Tombs pair together. My name is Jason Mist. See ya. Hey, this is Isaac again, and I forgot to say when I called the first time that maybe it would be a good idea, or, well, this is just a thought of mine, to do an ascension, have Lady Sinea or anyone do an ascension of the other classes, like Assassin, Ritualist, Dervish, and Paragon, because people still put their characters in Tyra, which right now I have my Assassin in Tyra. And I'm about to get ascended right now, so maybe you should have her or anyone do a build or do a little section on that. Thank you, and please keep up the good work.
Hey, Sean, it's Sean. I had a question about time. I remember a podcast you made earlier about time and how you didn't have enough time. I've recently had a job from my guild to recruit the old members for our guild. And it seems that every time and every day that I'm on guild wars, I seem to be doing nothing but looking for people and doing things. I have no time for myself. I know I can turn the job down and hand it to somebody else, but really this guild means everything to me. So I was looking for some help and then some advice. Thanks.
Hey, this is Giraffe Orc, and I'd like to tell you that cup of noodles are way better than ramen, and if you think different, cup of noodles shall disembowel and or decapitate you. Bye-bye.